We are back. We made it another time. I'm not going to tell y'all we're recording, but we're back before the end of the month with
We
the Girl
are.
Have You Read podcast. And I'm excited about this episode because we got a lot to talk about. We collected a lot of things.
We only have those things because Alex did the legwork of getting those things. Because she asked me what we should talk about, and I was like,
Which is often the reason that we record so late, because we're like, what should we talk about? I don't know. Okay, next week. We should probably record. What should we talk about?
Right.
I don't really
And
know
it just
yet.
goes on and on and on. So shout out to Alex for coming up with today's topics for us.
So we'll get into the main topic in a minute. But it seems like it was so long ago now. But Girl Have You Met was this month. Believe it or not.
Yes.
And we had such a good time. And so we have
we
to
did.
Give a special thank you to everybody who came to Memphis to join us, all the authors who gave such, incredible information on the panel, to all of our volunteers, all of the bays that helped out and popped balloons with ladders and everything that we
I forgot about that.
Everything we needed to do. Thank you to the city of Memphis for not raining us out, because that storm hit so heavy right when we were done, but that was perfectly fine because we made it. So yeah.
I remember I think I tweeted about it or something, how that just felt like divine intervention, that rain, like, it waited a few hours after after Girl Have You Met, because that was like that was like torrential downpour.
It really was.
It was a lot of rain. But yeah, that was really an amazing time. And you already shouted everybody out, and so I don't really have much to add other than agreeing with you that it was a good time. Always amazing energy, just the energy that I think a lot of us needed. It's always amazing to, like, just feeling that support and feeling like what you're doing matters and feeling like the impact that you're trying to have, feeling like, okay, people get it and people see it and people appreciate it and they're embracing it and all of that. Like, it's just,
It's you really have to be in the room. I really believe that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can only get so much from the pictures. You can only get so much from even the videos. Like, you really have to be in the room and experience what we're talking about. So we have picked a location that we will not say yet.
Are we not? Because I was ready.
Were you ready?
I was ready.
let's lock some things down first. Maybe we'll have an announcement on next month's episode, but
that's fair.
We do have a location in mind for Girl Have You Met 2020, which will be our fourth year doing it. I wish it was our fifth year doing it, because that would be like a cool little thing to be in 2020, but we are fourth year doing it.
Oh yeah, okay, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying about year five. Year four is like, I don't know, like four feels like completion to me more than five does for some reason.
It's because you're a Beyonce fan. That's why.
Maybe that's what it is. Is that what it is?
It's their attachment to the number.
Maybe so. You're going to have me thinking about that now.
No, but I'm super excited to... I'm super excited that one went the way it did. And I'm super excited for next year. And I'm excited for a lot of events next year. But I do have a question for you. And that, how do you choose what events you're going to attend as an author each year?
I think that as time has gone on and as I have been to more events, I've learned how to be a little more selective. Like, when you're first starting out, you're just excited to be asked. And so it's very easy to say yes to everything, or to want to say yes to everything, just so that you know, you're trying to build your visibility, you're trying to build your audience. And like I said, you're happy to have been asked. And that's not, I don't feel like that part changes. You know what I mean? Like, you're always glad to have been considered, but the traveling and the events is honestly, it's exhausting. And so
very much so. Mm-hmm.
Just, I guess, depending on your personality type, you really have to be kind of picky about what you, about what you're going to do, because mm-hmm. It's exhausting. You do these events and it's amazing, but you expend a lot of energy. You're smiling yes. all day. You're talking to people all day. And for me, like, I'm kind of naturally an introvert. Like, I love talking to people, but I'm that's just me. I'm naturally yeah. an introvert. And so I have to recharge afterwards. Mm-hmm. And this year was rough. This year has been rough yeah, for me so far.
You were back to back.
Yeah, I was back to back. And then even before the event started, I was on a cruise ship with 5,000 people, you know? And so it was just, it was a lot back to back. And I honestly feel like I'm still in recovery. But to really answer the question, you have to think about, you have to think about it as a business. At some point you have to start thinking about it from a business minded perspective. And even if it's an event that you want to do, maybe you really want to visit that city, or you mm-hmm. really love the people who are organizing it, or a lot of your readers have been asking you to come to a certain city, you have to think that thing all the way through, because mm-hmm. books are expensive. You have to decide how you're going to get your books there. Where are you going to stay? How are you going to get there? Are you going to fly? Are you driving? You know, what are the mm-hmm. costs for being in that certain city? Like, there are certain cities that are honestly just more expensive than others. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done an mm-hmm. event in LA. I've done an event in New York. Those are very expensive cities. Whereas yes. Atlanta, you know, Houston, Dallas, they're still big cities, but they're not
as
expensive like mm-hmm. like those other cities are. And that's the type of thing that you have to think about. Like, how much is my hotel going to cost if I want to be in a decent neighborhood, if I want to be in a decent hotel? Mm-hmm. What are my travel costs going to be? What toll is it going to take on me? You know,
truly, yeah.
My mm-hmm. kids, depending on the time of the year, like, I've had to decline a lot of August events, and I've had to just decide that I'm not doing events in August, because I live in Arkansas, and August is when our kids go back to school. Right. And there's so much involved with going to the event and the planning and the traveling and all of that, that I've kind of, it's just not a good time of year for me. And that's the mm-hmm. type of thing that you have to think about. And so I would say that for me, the financial aspect of it goes into it. And that's another part. That's another part of it. You have to consider how much money do I stand to make? Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You do have to consider that. I don't know that, I can only speak for myself, but events aren't like, going to an event isn't like this big money making thing. You know what I mean? No. Mm-hmm. At this point, if I'm breaking even, if I've made back my travel expenses and my table fee and all of that, I'm feeling great about it.
That's
but there
a
have
win.
Been events, yeah. right? There have been events that I haven't even made back the table fee that I paid to the organizers to be there. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't feel good. But it's something that, you have to factor into that decision. And so I have to think about how much it's going to cost me to get there. If I'm going to make any type of return on that, on being there, whether or not the organizers know what they're doing, or not even so much if they know what they're doing, just making sure that you're dealing with good people. Just make sure that you're dealing with decent people.
Yeah. Cause so much of this happens over email, right? So you don't really get a feel for who you're necessarily going to be working with until you actually meet them. Yeah.
And then understanding your personal bandwidth for how many events you're going to do, how much these events are going to take out of you, whether you're going to do a weekend event or a one day event. Like, there's a lot that goes mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about when you talked about how these events really do, they fill you up in a special way, but they do take so much energy. And I remember after, It's funny now that I'm thinking back to it. But I remember after Indie Love LA, which was a wonderful time, a wonderful event, but my parents came to LA with me. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, they're like, oh, let's go get dinner, and then we can go do this. And I was just, like, staring at them blankly, like, do y'all see? Like, that was just work for me. Like, do y'all not understand what just happened? Like, I was in work mode. Now y'all want to do all this, like, sightseeing and all this fun stuff, which is fine, but I am dead right now.
Right.
And so it really is. Like, it's so much fun to do, and it's so much fun to be able to hug everybody and talk to everybody and take pictures with everybody and sign these books, but it really is work.
Yeah. I think that for someone who hasn't done it, I feel like it's hard to see that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you have to, when it comes to like event organizers, I feel like you have to work with people who are on the author's side, if that makes sense. Like, you have to make sure that you're working with people who understand that the author is the draw. They're not the draw. Like, the event organizer, we're not the draw. Like, for Girl Have You Met, people aren't there to see Girl Have You Read. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about Girl Have You Read. People are here because, hey, my favorite author is going to be there, or I love this book, I want a copy of it, I want to get it signed. They're not there for autographs, for people to sign books, Girl Have You Read, you know what I mean? They're there for people to sign books, Be Love, or just at the Howard. Like, that's who they're there for. And I think it's important to work with people who make you feel valued and who understand that part of it.
And I think you touched on it a little bit earlier, but there really is a difference in being selective about what audience this event draws. Because I feel like you see a lot of those big book festivals and you just assume, oh, there's going to be readers there, so somebody want to read me. And that's just not necessarily true. I mean, unless you're really, like, advertising to your particular audience and they're going to come out and show you love. I've heard so many stories of people saying that, you know, people come there and they say, oh, these looks great, but I don't read romance. Or, you know, even as far as I don't read Black people, like, you know, even if they're nice about it, that's just not their thing.
And or so people like just don't show up.
Yeah.
Which is what I heard this weekend. That's a conversation for off the podcast, though. That's a conversation for off the for off the podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those big festivals, with the exception of, I would say, maybe like an Essence or something like that. Yeah.
Even those, you still have to kind of have some type of name or be, you know, be super personable to the point that you can sell yourself. Cause it's not that people just, cause there's so much stuff to do there and there's so much stuff to buy.
Yeah.
And so when you're in a situation where at least people are coming to buy books is one thing, but when you're in a situation like Essence where you can do so many different things,
I might buy
a book, but that's not that might not necessarily where I want to be spending my money at.
Right. And I've come to a point a point where I feel like there's a very specific event. There's a very specific type of event that I want to be at. I want to be at events that celebrate Black romance, period.
Right.
Period. You know, like, otherwise, it's kind of like, what am I doing here? Is this a good use of my time? Is this a good use of my resources? Because if you're asking me to be here, you're asking me to offer my name, you know, to lend credibility to your event.
Right.
What are you going to do to make sure that make sure that there are people here? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, and you just have to, I'd rather be somewhere that this is what these people showed up for. Right. Even if they've never heard of me, even if they don't come see me, right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, that's just the type of vibe that I want to be around. That's the feeling that I want to be a part of. And I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old, or maybe it's like a get off my lawn type of thing, but I just don't want to, like, that's really all I want to deal with. I just want to deal with Black women who love romance, Black women who love Black romance. Like, that's just where I am. Maybe mm-hmm. that'll change, but for now, that's just where I am with it.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of being indie, where we can kind of pick and choose, you know, where we mm-hmm. want to be versus, you know, this is your book tour. No, it's
right.
We get to hand pick, you know, which you know what?
I just, like, when you said that, I just thought about something. Like, I was reading this article, it's still book related, but I was reading this article about how for a lot of even traditionally published authors, when you see them going on book tours and stuff, a lot of times that wasn't arranged by their publisher. They set up their own book tours. They pay for it. They pay to get there because the publishers aren't putting the money behind them. And so they take it all on their own. And I'm just like, maybe I ought to be doing a book tour. If they're paying for their own too, why can't I do a book tour?
You know what? Let's level up.
Hey,
book tours all 2020.
My
schedule already looks crazy for 2020. I'm kind of afraid of it, so let me not say that. I'm already intimidated, and it's still 2019. Still early in 2019.
Yeah, you're not even finished with 2019 events yet.
At all. I only have one. And I'm already 2020, Lord. But anyways, as another part of Girl Have You Met, we got to announce the nominees for Dear Black Romance Author.
Oh, yeah.
And after 2,000 people-ish have voted, we now have
out to y'all, because
I was, like, kind of shook. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that was amazing.
And that's, like, legit different people. And that mm-hmm. and that's not that we got 2,000 total votes. That's 2,000 unique people, because right. the way that I said it, you had to log into Google, and that's how we made sure that only one vote per person. Uh-huh. And I specifically set it up like that. And I'm sorry for the people who don't have a Google or don't have a Gmail and didn't want to sign in, but that was the way to make sure that it was fair, to make sure that mm-hmm. people weren't cheating. And I also set it to where you had to pick somebody for each category. So one thing that I saw were people saying, well, I've not read any of the new authors in that category. Yeah, go do it and then come right. back and vote. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like we're trying to encourage it. And if you did just randomly vote for somebody and then decided to go back and read who you voted for, like, yeah, mm-hmm. this is what we're doing. Like, we want you to expand your horizons and open your eyes, and hopefully, you know, next year we'll have a completely different pool of people for, mm-hmm. you know, to pull from. And so that's exciting.
So would you like to share the winners?
Oh yeah, I can do that. There are three categories that we had were favorite author, like just favorite overall Black romance author, favorite Black romance novel or series, and then we have favorite new Black romance author. For the favorite author overall was Love Belvin. Clap, 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 clap.
Ooh, I know, we need some sound effects in here.
I know. For favorite series favorite book is He Who Is a Friend, which is part of a series, but because mm-hmm. the series isn't complete yet, it was just that one, that specific book was He Who Is a Friend, also by Love Belvin. Clap, 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 clap again. And then for our favorite new romance author was Chelsea Maria, which clap, 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 clap. But I have to say, like, Chelsea has had, like, an excellent year.
honestly, for real.
I was thinking about that, like, after Girl Have You Read, Chelsea was one of our featured authors this year at Girl Have You Met as well. And mm-hmm. she appeared, you know, to have a good time. That's what I heard from her afterwards, that she had a good time. And then, you know, she found out that she got the nomination. She's only been doing this, you know, for a short time. Mm-hmm. She met, like, Evander Holyfield in the airport.
She did.
I saw that on Instagram. She met Vander Holyfield in the airport, and then, you know, she won this, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. shout out to Chelsea. Like, yeah. she's having, like, a great year.
And this is somebody who was really a reader at last year's Grad You Met.
Like, absolutely.
That's how quickly it can happen if you go for it.
Absolutely. Like, that was really, really cool, but I was really happy for her.
That is amazing. That's really cool. Stuff like that just makes me feel good.
Yeah. Because that's what we're here for, you right. know, like to be able to support our own, to be able to, you know, root for our own. Like, that's like, it's not about Alex Warren and Christina C. Jones. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. not about us. It's about these authors. Like, mm-hmm. it's not about an ego thing or building ourselves up or making money, or it's like, right. it's not about any of that. It's about this community. And so mm-hmm. like, it's just so good.
It is. That's like an ultimate, like, full circle example. Like, if we mm-hmm. had a testimonial page,
yeah.
the poster girl.
Like, this is the story to watch.
Yeah.
But all right. So now that we're done with Grad You Met. No. There was something else that I wanted to bring up, but then we started talking about something else. I thought about the fourth thing. This date is subject to change, so don't hold us to it. But the date that we're looking at, I'm not going to tell you the place, but I can tell you the date that we're looking at. The date that we're looking at is going to be April 4th, 2020. And so we're going to be doing our fourth
anniversary.
No, is it really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We'll have to do like a little anniversary shout out. Or something. I mean,
that's the only but, thing we're playing.
The Carters, everything is love. But we'll be doing our fourth Girl Have You Met on April 4th. And I thought that was cool.
That is cool. I do.
Potentially
like that.
Doing our fourth Girl Have You Met on April 4th because we still don't have the date locked down. But mm-hmm. y'all get it. Okay. But anyway, enough of my nonsense. On that particular topic. What we are, like, our main topic for today that we're talking about is dealing with writing slumps. Because I feel like, was it the March episode or the February episode that we talked about this a little bit then, about having, like, about dealing with writer's block and stuff like that, and I feel like it may have been further back than that, but we wanted to talk about writing slumps. I know that, you know, this is something that's pretty common for all of us, mm-hmm. for all mm-hmm. authors. I see yeah. so much about this, and just dealing with it, getting through it, moving past it. What you got, Alex?
And so, okay, so the weird thing I'm thinking about first is that it was... Like, I feel like I just went through what I would consider a writing slump. But it was never really a writer's block, where it mm-hmm. wasn't that I couldn't write. I just wasn't enjoying what I was writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, it was really, like, a matter of going through a couple of things, which was, like, you know, trying to read back some of my old stuff, trying to read through other docs that I started to see maybe if that's what I should be writing right now, you know, trying to find inspiration in what I settled on. Was just writing something completely out of my normal, what I would consider my normal, like, range, uh-huh. and just trying to kind of stretch my mind a little bit, because I kind of realized that the reason I was in a writing slump was because I just felt like everything that I was doing was so much of the same. Not that it was the same story or
no,
was,
I get you,
know, but it just felt the same, like the same level. Like, there was no, like, oh, like no peaks, no valleys. It was just, like, very monotone. For me. And so this next project is how I guess I got out of
the slump. And you got out of the slump and tossed it over a bridge. Alex XXX Andrea.
Here you go.
But no, it's really, really good. And it's crazy that you said that because I was literally just, I brought it up to you too, but I was talking to Nicole about this, about how, and thinking about my heroines that I've written recently, not even that they're necessarily the same women, because when I think about Jacqueline, when I think about Anselin, when I think about Allison, when I think about Kyle, when I think about, you know what I mean? Like, they're all very different women, but they all kind of start the book in this unsettled place. Like, they're unsettled, or they're grieving, or they're freshly heartbroken, or it's all something like that. And everything, like, as I was trying to think through, now that I Think I Might Love You is out, it's like, okay, what to write next? Like, what am I going to do next? Am I going to go straight into the next thing? But then everything that I was thinking about doing was heroines who were in the same place. And I hesitate to write another single woman who is, like, unhappily single or, like, freshly heartbroken. Like, I don't want to set this impression, or don't want to reinforce this stereotype that because a woman is single, she's missing something. You know what I mean? I just felt like, and I won't even say that I feel like those heroines necessarily reinforce that, but it's just the type of thing that was on my mind. It's like, am I always doing this? Am I always doing this same thing? Is this what I'm always doing? And a couple of the heroines that I would have possibly written were going to be a lot like Jacqueline, like, not exactly like her, but just that personality. And I'm like, no, I gotta break this up. I gotta do something else.
Yeah. And so I think flipping it, like flipping what you feel like you already know on his head sometimes, like, that's just necessary. Absolutely. And I think that sometimes the writing slump is because you are afraid to do that. Like, I don't do, like, what I'm writing now, like, I don't, this is not necessarily my lane.
But it is now.
Are we taking it over? No, I'm just joking.
Okay, I'm gonna leave you alone to let you talk. But
I wouldn't consider it my normal lane. But I feel inspired by the challenge that this project was for me.
And that's
to push myself more. Yeah, to push myself more. And so that's, I feel like,
beautiful.
I could take the energy from this, which was a completely organic, unplanned, like, literally heard a song, felt like I needed to write a story around it situation. But I feel like I can take the energy from that and apply it to the stuff that I do have planned for the year.
Right. And isn't that so throwback? Like, think about...
Man.
Like, come on. You hear a song... Her and you're like, song. I'm just gonna write about that.
Like, do you remember? Like, I feel like I was probably working on something else, and I was like, dude, listen, like, look at these lyrics. Okay, change it, because she's talking about another woman. But what if you're talking about another man, like a man, and that was maybe 2 weeks ago, and this project was about to come out. So that tells you how inspired I was.
I feel like, has it been 2 weeks? Because it doesn't even feel like 2 weeks.
It might not have been. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. Well, I guess today started a new week, though. Yeah. So I guess technically,
maybe 2 weeks, but still not a long time, but a very focused time, thanks to that song. And I don't even know how to pronounce the girl name, so I'm not gonna say the song, but y'all can find it on the playlist.
But that's how it goes when that inspiration really hits you, and you just have to go with it. And the fact that you went with it instead of saying, well, I'm not supposed to be writing this right now, I'm just going to go with it, I feel like there's so much value in that. Like, I don't even know how to articulate myself, but I'm really excited for you with this project. I'm really excited for the readers. I'm low-key jealous of the readers. Like, I gotta, like, you gotta leave me alone. I can't be reading stuff before you write it. I feel like it's not fair to me
that I don't get to
read it all at once. I gotta wait on you to send me stuff a little at a time. But no, like,
it's been fun. Yeah. It's been very fun.
And it feels like it. Mm-hmm. It feels like it. Not to say it's not that the project isn't fun. Yeah.
but the energy, yeah, the energy and producing it has been fun. But no, it's very much not the usual. I mean, there's some funny parts, sure, but it's not the usual lighthearted, sweet-ishness that you would get in the Alexandra Warren Project, I feel like.
So who are you going to do for book two in this series?
Oh, what? What?
Because you already know you're going to be axed.
And see, and that's where I will mess up is by saying
that's true. That's true. That's true.
Because that's how I feel like that's how I ended up in the writing slump, being completely transparent, you know, creating a 4-book series out of the building 402 building, whatever apartment mm-hmm. complex, whatever. I set myself up to have to write a final piece of that and had it completely planned out, said it would be out in spring, blah blah blah, and it's still spring right now, but I'm not going to that next, just being completely honest. But I just was bored. Like, I was bored. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I felt like I was holding myself hostage trying to write that project. And then this came up, and it was like, let's just go with it. Let's, you know, take this wherever it's going to go. Even if it doesn't, you know, come to completion, which I'm grateful that it did, but I needed to follow that energy.
Yeah. I get it with that series thing, especially when it's really, really well received. And I know that probably sounds so backwards, like you would think, like, oh, I introduced this series and people love it, like, I'm gonna take that energy to write the next book. But it's like, mm-mm. Now I'm like, can I live up to, like, y'all really dig this, y'all are really excited about this, how am I gonna match this, how mm-hmm. am I going to top this, how, like, it's like it creates a whole other it creates a whole other series of problems, because mm-hmm. for me, I just released I Think I Might Love You, and it's one thing, like, for people to tell you that you're funny or whatever, you're funny with your friends, naturally funny, you know, blah 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 blah, y'all make jokes, everybody, you know what I mean, like, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But then to keep people laughing for a whole book, even though it's short, you know, even though it's short, like, I feel like it took a lot out of me. And mm-hmm. now is, at first I thought, okay, I'm just going to go straight into it, because I had this thing where I'm going to challenge my muse, and the muse ain't the boss. I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. All right. It's like, okay, bitch, let's see. Like, let's for real see. But no, now I feel like I need to, like, recharge my funny, if that makes sense at all.
No, yeah.
Like, I feel like I need to do something else where it's not at all about being funny or any of that. Take some time to recharge, because I'm also missing, like, the angsty, sexy type of stuff. Probably mm-hmm. somewhat your fault. but I'm just saying, like, you know, I Think I Might Love You, if you've read, I'm not about to give any spoilers necessarily, but, like, it's very light. It's very light. It's, yeah. There's no yeah. heavy moments in it. Like, there's one kind of, you know, mm-hmm. like a fight, you know,
so, but it's so not. Funny, though.
Yeah,
even it's that, like, it's is not funny. Like, there's funny, like, in the right. parts are funny.
Right. And so it's like, as much as I complain about, I don't feel like writing any angsty stuff, I don't feel like writing, why are these folks so sad? Like, I complain about that, but I missed it. And so mm-hmm. now I'm like, well, maybe I need to do something like that and kind of live in that space for a little while. And then once I do that, I'll be ready. Like, I'll mm-hmm. be, you know, I'll be looking for some funny. I'll be tired of these sad ass right. folks over here and ready to, you know, ready to come out the gate with some funny on it. And it's like, it's just such this weird thing. And I think about the Wright brothers, which this series is a spinoff, you know, is a spinoff of the Wright brothers. Mm-hmm. But I think about the Wright brothers and how everybody's favorite book, or not everybody's favorite book, but most people's favorite book in that series is Getting School. It's the first mm-hmm. book in the series. And I get it. I get why, because Reese and Jason, they just had this certain chemistry, and they were funny, and they were fighting. And, you know, there was a lot that was, you know, that was unique about that book. And then you get the other two books, and the other two books are fine. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think the other two books are fine. But that first book just had like this certain magic that that you can't replicate. You know, that was their magic. And then the other two books have their own vibe. But I keep thinking about that, like, oh man. Like, how do I impress people as much with book two and book three as they, you know, as much as they enjoy book one? So I get it. And I can't believe that I set myself up like this again to write a 3-book series after that. But I get what you're saying. It's like, I feel like for some writers, and I feel like this is something that you and I have in common, is we can't live in a certain space too long. Like, we need breathers from it. Like, we have to kind of mix it up.
Definitely. That's because I tried. Oh, well, and I think I said this on a different episode, how Building 402 is all supposed to come out like back to back to back to back. And I for real, like no, like, I gotta get away from these people. Like, I just gotta get out of here. I gotta move out for a little bit, and then I'll move back in.
You gotta go on a little sabbatical.
I just couldn't, and so I was able to come back. But then even now, and I think part of it is this is because I am writing about a married couple, like, even that's a different lane for me, so it's just kind of figuring out that aspect of it too. But it was also just like, I don't want to be in Building 402 right now. Like, I love y'all, but I just don't want to be in it right now.
Yeah, and I think up
here.
Yeah, and I was just saying, I think that there's value in following that, because look at what you're getting ready to put out, because you followed that.
My heart beat fast.
But I was just saying, it's like, we know that readers would love for us to, you know, put it out back to back, or have the series finished before we put it out, which is
a goal of mine. That is a goal of mine.
But it's also a ridiculous request, because when you think about traditional publishing, well, not even necessarily that. When you think about traditional publishing, it's taken a year or two between installments of a series to come out, and like, come on,
that's true.
But but nah, I wouldn't be able to hold on to it when I finish the book. Like, I'm not holding on to this until all of the installments are finished. That's not happening.
Yeah, no, not all. I would say, like, finish one, and then if I'm like halfway into the next one, then that's my goal.
That's a good spacing too
for a project I won't talk about, because anytime I speak on planned stuff, that's when God be like, ah.
Just imagine you getting tapped on your hand.
No, sis. No, don't do that. So, yeah. But you were talking about the Wright brothers, and the Wright brothers are coming to audio.
They are coming to audio, which has been an exciting process, but you already know that, because the games we play is already on. It's already out on audio.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It's weird. Like, so it's been open as a tab on my computer for like, well, it came out, when did it come? I think it came out on 16th. So it's been open as a tab on my computer since then. Mm-hmm. And I'll just jump in and like listen to random parts. And then it starts getting weird. Like, whoa, I really wrote this. And jump back out. And it was so, oh my God, it was so stupid. So Dante, I didn't know what to call him on here. I'm like, y'all don't know what Dante is. My boyfriend was looking at books on Audible. And I was like joking with him. I was like, yeah, your girl's on Audible now. Like, just messing around. And so he types my name in, and the games we play comes up. And then he goes to listen to the sample. And I was like, no, dog. Like, relax. You don't need to do this. Like, how dare you? And I was just sitting there, like, just so embarrassed while he's listening and laughing. He's like, what is good? And I'm like, no, don't do this to me. Because it is weird. It's weird to hear it read out loud for some reason. I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I'm not an audiobook girl. Like, that's just not me. And so I keep telling myself, like, it only sounds weird to you because you don't listen to audiobook. Like, all it's the time, like, right. That's why it sounds weird to you. But I feel like a good part of it is also because we're, you know, I feel like part of it is also because we're the authors. Like, we're the ones, you know what I mean? Like,
it's, who made it's, this it's happen? Us. Yeah.
And so it's like you said, it's like, oh, I wrote that? Like, for real? It's and it's a little embarrassing.
And because, you know, that book came out, God, when did that book come out? Oh, that thing came out last year, or I mean, January last year. And so I'm so far removed from it that it doesn't really feel like mine at this point anymore. Like, I'm like, and so I'm listening to it, and I'm like, whoa, like, you really took it there, didn't you, Alex? Wow. So, yeah. So, but it's been fun. It was fun to, you know, be a part of the process in terms of saying yes and saying no to narrators because, mm-hmm. you know, working with the production company is different. It's just different in terms of, like, what options they give you and advocating for yourself in certain ways and advocating for your people in certain ways and making sure that when a listener sits down to listen to your audiobook, that it sounds authentic. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, it's been a process. It's been a process. I can say that.
Yeah.
What about for you? How are you feeling as yours is getting ready to come out next month?
I feel excited and nervous. Excited and nervous is like, on one hand, I'm like, man, nobody's trying to listen to this. Like, this book is so old. Uh-huh. All of that. But on the same token, it's like, I'm excited for the people who like audiobooks. You know what I mean? Because this is something that people have been asking us about and it was something that for me, like I said, I'm not an audiobook girl. So I would always kind of put it to the back burner. And so I'm glad that the opportunity came about for, you know, to bring it to life with good narrators and professional production and all of that. And so It's exciting, but I think that I'm more excited for, like, to reach that audiobook mm-hmm. audience, like, mm-hmm. to reach all new readers and stuff, because I think that Black women, they listen to audiobooks too, and I think that there have been kind of a lack of us available in the romance category of Audible. And so I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, really cool.
Yeah, it's
so we're gonna see.
It's fun.
I'm waiting on narrators for Amphi Up. I think I'll be more like nervous and stuff when it comes to Amphi Up than for Getting School, because that's just such a different vibe. Like, that book is just like totally different. And so I don't know.
And for listeners, understand that the pool of narrators, specifically Black narrators, is incredibly tiny. So if you have any aspirations of, you know, reading for audiobooks or being a narrator, whatever, please go for it, because we need your voice. Like, that, like, 1,000% we need your voice, and we need people that will understand the different, you know, intonations or whatever we're putting on words and all that without having to explain it to them. So come out. I have one specific person in mind. I'm not gonna put her on blast, but I know she's gonna listen to this and she's gonna know that I'm talking to her.
Come on, girl.
so please put yourself out there. Which, speaking of that, why did my mom, because she always like, oh, I just want to do something different, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, you're doing audiobooks. Like, maybe I should do, I can read books and da, 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 da. And I was like, Mom, but I'm not letting you read my books, though. So where are we going with this? And she's like, well, I guess I ain't going to read your stuff. But, like, you know, everybody else's stuff, I can read their stuff. And then she started doing, like, this sample. And I'm like, Mom, like, I'm going to shoot you the But she does have a good reader voice. I can't say that. But shout out to my mom for.
I was gonna say, don't be hating on her.
She can do everybody else's stuff.
Just but not she, yours. I don't
yeah,
blame
you. Not, no, please don't.
Exactly. That is hilarious. Shout out to Mom.
No, she always answers stuff. She is, but yeah. So we need Black voices there.
Yeah,
because this was hard for me. It was hard for me to not pick the same ones that everybody already has, but we really mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had more options, I would go for another option in a heartbeat if I could.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm over that particular part of it now after having picked this first round, because when you think about it, yes, they've done it for a lot of other people, but that means that they have experience. Yeah, and so true. They kind of know mm-hmm. how to put the different, we talked about the different inflections and stuff. It's kind of like they kind of know how to do that stuff because mm-hmm. they've done it for so many different, they've portrayed so many different characters now, you know what yeah, I mean? Because it's acting, you know, it's voice acting kind of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't think I'll be as... I don't know that I'll be as concerned about that this time. Like, now that I've mm-hmm. thought about it more, I don't think that I'll be as concerned about that this time around. Like, when I'm picking my narrators and stuff for Ante Up and, like, the other, you know, the other books.
Yeah. But just not to say, like, mine did a fantastic job. Like, I listened to them and I still laugh at the way that they change their voices for different characters and mm-hmm. their section and all that stuff. Like, that stuff is hilarious to me because I'm like, wow, you are really talented to make me believe that this person right. sound like this. Because they didn't even sound like that in my head, but I liked it how you did it. So,
yeah.
So shout out to them for sure. But there's definitely a market for narrators, black narrators.
Absolutely. But all right, that's pretty much all we have for today. But before we let you guys go, if we have any black romance authors you write about black love, please do not forget, girl, have you read? We're here for you. We do cover reveals. We do spotlights. We're going to be opening reviews, opening review submissions soon, like review requests. Am I saying mm-hmm. that? I feel like yeah. I'm not saying that right. Do you?
No. Like, accepting review requests, accepting review submissions, whatever. They know what it
yes.
means.
Yes.
Open for that. Work. Well, not us personally, but we have reviewers on standby ready to check you out.
Yes. And so if you have stuff like that, you want to request it, the only real requirement is that the focus is on black people. Y'all mm-hmm. y'all know why we're here. You know? So as long as the focus is on black people, it can be polyamorous. It can be same-sex relationships. We don't get a lot of that. I feel like we don't get a lot of that.
There is one author, I can't remember her name now. It's like BL something. But she writes lesbian romance. And I always am conscious of including her on the list because it's like, yeah, shout out to you.
Yeah, because we're not... Right, like we don't want to, like, the purpose is to include all of us. Like, it's not like it's, again, as long as they're black, mm-hmm. and as long as they're black, like that's the only thing. But we want to be open to all of us, like mm-hmm. for real, all of us. It's not just about heterosexual relationships because that's not all of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's not all of us, and so. You know, if you're listening and you know, maybe in the back of your mind, you were like, well, no, send it to
us.
Yes,
please do.
Yes, we want to share you. Our purpose mm-hmm. is to put us on. So there's that.
Yeah. So you can go to our website and go to the author services tab and find everything you need.
Yeah. I need to fix the directory. I took the directory down because I was, this probably really isn't a topic for the show, but I've already started talking about it now. But I took the directory down because I wanted more options. Like, you know, I wanted more sorting options and different things like that. Mm-hmm, and I just wanted mm-hmm. it to look cooler. And so I have to figure out, what I'm going to do with that. But I want to put the directory back up so that if we have people who are specifically looking for LGBT or, you know, cooking romance and not to equate the two together. I was just thinking of like another subcategory when people are looking for like specific things. So cooking maybe romance. You're cooking romance. Like, you know what I'm saying. Like a romance.
We also have cooking romance, urban romance.
No, I mean, like, where is there's a chef, or if you're looking for something about a lawyer, or if you're looking for something about an assassin, or maybe I'm the only weirdo who even, like, does stuff like that. Like, I'm often, like, I'm looking for, like, a very specific thing. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to sort, you know, if you're looking for these things, this author has those, or, you know what I mean? So, yeah, there's that.
So, if you're looking for cooking romance, you can check the directory soon. anyways, I think that's all. I think that's all we have.
That's it for today. As always, thank you guys for listening. And if you have topics, that would be so helpful. Please send them our way. But anyway, thank you guys for listening as always. And I hope you have a good one.
Later.